Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast. It's all up in your bomb cast. Big J kills them like OJ Simpson. A quick hit the fingerless glove, don't bend. Get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the class.
We were talking about Trump. Dave hasn't seen that Trump turned on Tony.
It's hilarious.
Yeah.
He's like, he sucks. I don't know him. He's trash.
It's such a Trump move.
Does he say he's trash? No, what was funny was then.
He didn't say he's trash. He was like, I don't know who booked him. I don't know why they booked him. Let's move on.
I wouldn't have booked him. It's not a big deal. But it's he kept saying it's not a big deal, which is funny. But the one I texted Tony and he was like, well, he goes, I'm all right. He goes, Biden just called 80 million Americans garbage.
He did. Yeah, he really lured. Dude, they're just not allowed to like let Biden speak, man, because it's like the first time I've heard him speak in weeks. Mm-hmm. And right away, he's just like, is you going to call Puerto Ricans garbage? You're all garbage. And you're like, well, now that's going to be the story. Yep. Good job, old man.
It sure was. And then, you come back already and be like, no, I meant that guy was garbage. I am blown away always, man, by the fucking the comedian pile on. I'm always blown away by it.
The
comedian pile on blows my mind. And it's just like, especially any fucking, like, especially the Puerto Rican comics that are hilarious coming out of the woodwork. And it's like, this goes, so this is the one thing, like, this is where your one problem about jokes are? Puerto Rico jokes. This is it. This is the hill you have to die on. How dare he say Puerto Rico is a floating pile of garbage?
It's all retarded. It's just kind of well, I don't know. I don't really have much else to say about it.
But isn't it the same thing when they're saying, like, because we're going like, yeah, he was trying to do jokes. It was a weird booking for sure and whatever, but you go, he's a comedian trying to do jokes. And I wouldn't fault him for that at all. I think he did well, like, weirdly enough. So it's like on the thing, it's like, but the people that are like, they say like they're sucking his dick, you know, that they're like, oh, all these comics are sucking his dick because they want to be on his show or in his good graces. Isn't that kind of what you're doing when you've like accepted the I'm not in their world? So like, do you get what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't feel uncomfortable making a joke about Zach Galifianakis. Does that make sense? Like, he's not like, I'm not crossing him over in my world. So it's like they're trying to get clout off of it too by being angry about it as someone who's not in the orbit of him.
Yeah, I get your point. I think I just always like, you know, part of it, it's almost like, you know, like when a comedian dies and then like you see other comics online, like try to make it all about them. Like they're like, I featured for him 12 years ago and the thing he said to me always stuck with me and blah, blah, blah. And you're just kind of like, yeah, you're just kind of making Norm Macdonald dying about you, you know? Yeah, like, yeah, I don't know, it's kind of weird. So there's a lot of that where people are just trying to get in on it. Like, oh, this is the moment. Let me get it. But I just always, I always thought the comedy thing was like, you're such a hypocrite if you fucking throw another comic under the bus for offending people. It's all so lame. So, you know, is what it is.
Well, that's what I'm saying for him. You have the thing, you have the Trump thing. This is great. Have you seen this, Lewis? You saw it already.
Yeah.
Dave didn't see it. I think we have some tape, Alex. Brought the tape.
Am I not physically capable of seeing it? Will it not play in my presence?
G-Mike, you throw it to the tape? Go ahead, hit play, throw it to the tape.
I was told and made aware that you had no idea about this comedian who made comments.
I still have, I have no idea who he is. Somebody said there was a comedian that joked about Puerto Rico or something, and I have no idea who he is. Never saw him, never heard of him, and don't want to hear of him, but I have no comedian in, which everybody does. You throw comedians in. You don't vet them and go crazy. It's nobody's fault. But somebody said some bad things. Now, what they've done is taken somebody that has nothing to do with the party, has nothing to do with us, said something, and they try and make a big deal. But I don't know who it is. I don't even know who put them in. And I can't imagine it's a big deal. I've done more for Puerto Rico than any president, I think, that's ever been president.
I don't even know if you were there for
That cuts off before he goes, are you saying he shouldn't have been there? And he was like, yeah, no, he shouldn't have been there.
He goes, we pulled his name out of a bucket. It was totally random.
He was supposed to
get off when he heard the sound of the kitten. He was supposed to wrap it up. He heard the sound of the West Hollywood bear. He just kept going.
He got greedy.
And Trump just starts dropping little hints that he knows everything about Kill Tony. Yeah, whatever it is. I'm surprised Hannity even asked him about it. Like, why are you even pretending?
I think that I actually think that's very, very funky. That's a pretty shitty thing to do to Tony, to just completely hang him out to dry. So you could have just been like, yeah, we got a comedian to come in and be a comedian.
I think the stakes are a lot bigger than Tony's feelings for Trump.
Of course, but I'm just saying,
so here's the thing. It's all politicized horseshit, right? So for me, as a Puerto Rican, I'm more offended that Kamala's team is being like, oh, look at these idiot Puerto Ricans. Like,
we can dupe them into feeling offended or whatever, right?
Yeah, over some fucking jokes. Everyone knows that it's jokes. It's just sort of like, whatever.
I mean, you understand, even as a Puerto Rican, you have to understand why she's doing that, because your people are so stupid. They'll probably fall for it.
We're susceptible to easy tricks. You all live on garbage piles. No, I think that's such a weird place to be in. Where it's like Tony kind of, by even doing the gig, I said he really picked in the court of public opinion, chose a side. And then the leader of that side was like, I don't care about this guy sucks. That's shitty.
They're politicians. They're soulless.
Yeah, really. Sure. No, you're right. It's bigger than Tony's feelings for sure. I'm just saying from Tony's perspective, you could be like, well, I did it, but it's like, I'm all in now. And it's like, now the leader of the party's going like, I don't want to know this guy. I don't want to know. It's like, so, and these people are sheep. So people fucking, they just follow away. This is going to be fine for Tony, ultimately.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even an issue. Literally, we're keeping it going. By the time this episode comes out on Friday, nobody's going to be talking about Tony and his thing. It's not even the thing that fucking matters.
Dude, Trump got shot in the face and it was out of the news in 5 days.
Yeah, literally. That's not even a joke. That's not even an exaggeration. The news cycles move so fast.
I don't expect jokes out of Dave.
Yeah. Hey,
I didn't think it was a joke.
No, really, it wasn't a joke.
At the end of Dave's jokes, he has to go, that was a joke. And then I have to say it over again in my head and go, that's fucking brilliant. I go, but I was taking it in as serious. Dave, would you be comfortable and want to interview either of or both of them?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. I mean, to me,
2020, Jay.
To me, that adds up far more, I said, than what we were saying before, Theo Vaughn or even Rogan.
What do you mean?
I'm saying to for you to do something like that makes sense. The people they're going on to is just it's all even Rogan is a 3-hour play out of fucking Bill Clinton playing the saxophone on Arsenio Hall. Do you know what I'm saying?
He asked him some good questions, but I get what you're saying. No, going on Theo Vaughn's show is more like, oh, let's hear Trump talk about cocaine. It's not, right. Which is interesting too, though. It's interesting to see that side of him. I don't know.
I just don't know what it does for, it's just, I said to me, it's more strange. And I said, not Rogan. Rogan, it makes sense that anybody wants to come on that show. He's like, of course they want to come on the show. That's what I said. If we had a thing you know, they were like, Kamala Harris is really like to be on Story Wars. What? Why?
Well, that'd be awesome.
Dude, you got to have Kamala Harris on Story Wars if you guys can make that.
I understand. I'd just be like, why? What is the thing? What is her? Why would her intention to do that be? What would the point of it be? It's just
it's the humanizer. It's, that would actually be something good for her to do. You do a show where it's just funny and silly and you know, that's why. The reason I walked out of the Trump interview I got to be honest with you guys, I don't care at all about politics, so I'm very disconnected from this conversation right now. But I watched Trump on Rogan and I was like, oh, I like him a little bit more. He's a little bit more human. I got to see a 3-hour uninterrupted interview. So I think that's the upside of it for any of them.
Lewis was planning on voting for him until he heard Tony's joke. Too far.
Fucking
too far,
Hinchcliffe.
Well, let's go to this.
But I want to see this thing. I didn't see this yet, but Lewis said this guy should win King of Skankfest. From what you described it from this video.
There was a guy that I think is a kick streamer, and he took a homeless woman on a date and then he bailed. He dined and ditched the bill and he left her and he streamed it. I don't know. I didn't watch the video. I know nothing more about the story than simply that.
I mean, that's, it is solid content.
It's enough. It's funny. What's the bill? 76?
Oh, no.
Oh, let me see. Go back. I want to see what that menu is. It was like filet mignon and shit. You took it like the nice steakhouse. Yeah, let's see here. Move forward a little bit. Filet mignon. Is it two filet mignons?
By the way, just saying, in Joe Biden's America, going to a steakhouse, two people, $76. That's a fucking excellent.
And shishito, and shishito peppers? Hell yeah. Yeah, it's not bad. Actually, I think that's one filet mignon. I think they shared a filet mignon.
If you're going to dine and ditch, how are you not just getting two filet mignons?
I guess maybe he actually just like
did it. Maybe 10 filet mignons, please.
Maybe he did it to a price that like a price point that like, if it went bad, he can get out of there. Because, yeah, I don't know what the thing on the top is, but it's only one filet mignon.
Is he a known streamer? Is this guy like known, Alex or G? Mike, do you know anything about him?
I don't know anything about this guy. This
no, is- and he streams on Kick. So he might be big on Kick, but Kick is a very like.
He's got crazy looking fingers. Is this a 75-year-old black jazz musician?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Okay. Fuck.
Like the comments, not bad price.
It's not a, it's really not a bad price, but if for just one for one steak and one.
All right.
And some shishito peppers.
Yeah, one appetizer, one steak. It's about average. So then he bails.
So he just gets up and leaves. He doesn't say anything.
Somebody said, "Don't do that, dum dum. Don't do that, cuz."
My name's ATM, Nari. Okay. Thank you.
Just
yeah.
Where he had the Uber already waiting.
Is this overseas?
I'm just on stream.
You're what?
I'm just on stream.
That's fucking.
Oh, so there's no hilarious. There's no follow up of what happened with the homeless woman there.
I can tell you guys what happened.
I do. Sure. Can I guess? Let's guess. Yeah. Let's guess what happened next.
Let's guess. I think it's the classic old timey. They made her wash the dishes.
They gave her. She actually now is employed by there. That would be a real feel good story if they gave her a job. She's homeless. But I'm gonna say flat out they just let her the restaurant just eats it because she's gonna explain what happened and doesn't clearly have any money on her.
I think there's gonna be
cool to her.
I do think, I don't even know, as Lewis says it out loud, I'm like, where did that old thing come from that you have to stay and wash the dishes? Because I remember believing that as a kid.
I don't know if I believe it anymore. I don't know if I believe it, if I've ever seen it, heard of it happening in real life, anything other than Pee-wee's Big Adventure. He's the only person I saw where he had to pay for his food.
Well, it's like an old wives' tale. What your grandma would say. You'd be at a diner with your grandma, and she'd be like, well, we're not going to pay. You're going to have to wash the dishes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like, first of all, also, if I didn't have money to pay, I'm probably not good at washing dishes. What do you think? I have skills? No. I'm gonna do a shit job with those dishes. Just cut your losses. Have me leave.
If I was good at washing dishes, I'd be a dishwasher and I could pay for my own meals.
But I choose to do this.
When's the last time you guys dined and ditched?
Never done it in my life.
Never in your life?
I don't think I ever ditched a restaurant. I mean, it's possible I did, and I'm just not remembering it, but I don't think I ever did.
Really?
I've had a bunch of girls tell me that they didn't have any money and basically did bail, and I just paid the whole thing, but it wasn't very much money.
We did it in Amsterdam. Me, Gene Kelly, Gene from the airport.
Mm-hmm, Gene, Dancing Queen from the airport.
It was all worth it for sport.
And Dan Doherty from the 30 Hits of Acid.
Oh, shit. The whole crew was together. The whole gang was together. The band.
We were in Amsterdam. I try to tell this on stage. It just never really worked because there's not much more to it. But it is funny. Like, this is true, actually. We got, like, we were out of money. It was the last day. We were staying in Utrecht, right outside of Amsterdam. And it was, like, a suburb. So we had to take, like, a fucking train for 40 minutes every day to get into Amsterdam. It was retarded. We wasted all this money. So we were, like, down to our last, like, maybe $50 between the three of us. And then we went to, like, a little, like, Amsterdam cafe, like, just like, at least we were like, all right, we'll get sandwiches, right? And we're from, you know, New York, New Jersey area. Like, when you think of a sandwich, you're like, all right, dude, I'll buy a ham sandwich. I'll cut it in half. I'll have half for lunch, half for dinner. I'm good. My last day. So we ordered three ham sandwiches, dude. They were like a cracker with one slice of ham and one slice of cheese on each.
That's a that's like a Colombian thing or something. That's or Argentinian, these little sandwiches.
They were the shittiest little fucking sandwiches ever, dude. We ate them so quick, and then we were like, "Fuck, dude." I was like, "We're gonna dine and ditch." And me and Gene were like, "Let's dine and ditch." And then Dan Doherty's like, "No, dude, no, we can't dine and ditch." We're like, "Dude, we're just doing it." So we just got up and ran. And then Dan had to, like, because he didn't have money for it all, so he had to, like, run too. So we ran exactly four blocks, right? And we're like, And I looked up, and we were just so high that we made four left turns, and we were right in front of the place again.
Left. Guys, break left. One more left. Last left, and we are home free.
This is like the moment where Lewis is like, all right, I think we lost him. Where he looks up. Oh no!
I just looked up, and we were standing in front of the place.
God damn it! What happened?
Nothing. They didn't even see us. They didn't even notice us.
They didn't notice the whole thing.
We just ran. We ran right four times.
No, I would think I would panic because I hate doing dishes. No, I would just like again. That was also keep in mind, like always, like the. Slowest, like one of the slower chubby kids in the group. I always thought fat, but in hindsight,
yeah,
I didn't really get fat until I was like an adult. Like when I was a teenager, all this thing that I thought I was fat would be now considered just like a fucking football player or something.
Yeah,
you really came around at the wrong time, Jay. If you were born right in the middle of the obesity epidemic, you'd have thrived.
When I go look at pictures of myself in high school, I'm like, why was I like fucking? I had the emotional energy of like a kid who was just like, well, like, let me get in my cart and I'll come to the door.
Well, it's like if you go back and look at Seinfeld and you're like, George wasn't fat.
That was the running joke.
Size 32 waist.
The running joke was just that he's a fat guy.
Stocky, but he's a stocky dude.
Well, look, you look back at him. He even had that one thing where he takes his shirt off where he's like, he's doing like sexy photos in underwear. Like, pull them up if you have them. Like, that's what was considered a fat guy.
Yeah, he didn't even have like tits or anything. He just was like a stocky guy.
Yeah, he just wasn't skinny.
He wasn't skinny or muscular. He was a dude.
Yeah, he was just a regular guy.
And he was like, exactly, the whole thing with George was he was fat.
But in the 90s in TV, like all the leading men were thin. The women were bone anorexic skinny. And so you just throw one. Yeah, you just threw this in there. And everyone's like, oh, look at that fat ass.
If I right now, by the way, right now, that's sort of what my side looks like. And I'm extremely proud.
I would honest to God, if I got to this body, I would cry in a mirror. I'd be like, you did it.
It's just so funny that that was supposed to be like a really sloppy body.
Yeah, to the point where they're making it like a gag on a show.
Yes,
yeah,
it's a gag, he's taking sexy pictures.
If, by the way, if he had a gut that flopped over, it would be over the short. Like, he's not fat.
No,
I would say that he's in good shape
for his age. He's in really good shape. That's what Bert Kreischer has worked out nonstop to get that exact body.
Yeah. Fat guys don't dine and ditch. Once the fat guy dines, he's like, you know what?
I owe you. He goes, you deserve something for this.
You changed my life.
I know we've like kind of touched on this before, but it's that story, Lewis, of like, it's something. It's like why I don't really enjoy gambling anymore. Like every year we've been in Vegas for Skankfest, and I've worked like, what's that casino that we always do? What's the casino with the comedy club out there? Whatever. You guys know the way you do it too, Lewis.
The Strat. I'm sorry.
No, that's not Mohegan Sun is what I'm thinking of. And then when I've done like gigs in Vegas, I'm always like, maybe I'll do some gambling, and I never do. And it's just because like I can never get the rush that I used to get when I was gambling, when I was so broke, where it was like my rent money was on the line. And you're just like, yo, I could lose it. And there's just a thing that I will never again in my life. My kids will never. But be in situations that I put myself in many times in my 20s. Like we've talked like this, like
you're spending 100% of my net worth on weed. Yeah. Dude,
you're in a foreign country. You have enough money for a sandwich and you're risking getting arrested. Just being in a foreign prison without enough money to do anything. Like you, and there's just something about that. By the way, it's not wise, and I'm glad I'm not in that situation. My kids will never be in a situation like that. But there is something about that. Like, you feel alive in those situations, dude. Like, committing a crime in a foreign country when you don't have bail money is fucking it's a rush.
Dude, I mean, when you're growing up in your 20s, you literally, the amount of times that I've spent 100% of my net worth on weed, coke, a hooker, just like, yeah, like, I'm like, dude, they're taking me for everything. It's the equivalent of you giving your house for a hooker one day. You're like, you know what? Take it. I'll start over tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. No, I lived like that. My month was always, I mean, even through having Isabella, when it was just like spend to zero. And that's including like bills and everything, but I mean, like, every other penny was like.
Well, I think most people are that way. Most people.
We weren't like, if we had $70 more than our monthly budget, we were like, let's go out to eat.
Yeah, we're like, we're going to spend 100% of what we own now on TGI Fridays.
Yes, specifically.
Those were big days, dude. When I was first hanging out with Jay, if it was a TGA Fridays day, that was a big day. Oh, shit. Jay and Carly got paid this week. We're going Jack to Fridays, dude.
Oh, yeah. It must have been a good day fucking.
I remember literally.
The fucking comic strip and me doing my guest spots.
I remember you and Carla taking me to Fridays for my birthday. Yeah. And completely unironically, 100% genuinely, feeling like you guys didn't have to do all that, man.
Dude, I'm telling you, I was talking to Isabel about this recently because she does remember that. Like, Fridays was our place where it was like, all right, we're doing all right this week, so let's hit fucking Fridays. Jack Daniels thing.
That's fucking wild. I mean, I know a lot of our audience is still in that situation, but I would I would kill myself if that was me.
What if someone took you to a Friday for your birthday?
If Fridays was like a good day out.
No, man, it's supposed to be part of the fucking ride. If you don't know that, like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's something to, like, and like you said, Dave, you don't want that and you don't want to manufacture it in their life, but it's like, because of the timing of when you had kids, like, they won't know, like, a struggle. Do you know what I mean? Like, a struggling time. Barring any kind of major incident, but let's assume it's going to go good. I'm saying, like, you guys are like, they're going to understand, like, James got a little of it, but like Isabella definitely had till, like, you know, 12 years
Isabella
old.
Isabella was driving when it got good.
Isabella, it was past that. Yeah. About driving when things started, or I was like, okay, I guess I should do comedy for a living.
But it is.
Dude, you
it
know
is
what? Amazing. I made the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, that was in my deep 30s.
You told Isabel that when you dropped her off to vote for the first time.
But I don't know how. Is James aware of that at all? Because, like,
goal setting, right? So, like, I made a decision when James was a baby. I was like, by the time he has memories, I was like, I want to be able to, like, take him on a nice vacation, have a nice apartment, have, like, nice meals. Like, so he doesn't have any memories. But, like, James, when he was a baby, there was a supermarket that had, like, a barbecue spot in Harlem. Like, in the back.
Remember.
Of course it did.
I remember it well.
Really good barbecue. But really good. I would take James there all the time, and we would just order the barbecue and then go upstairs and eat it and not pay for it. And then we're just
you and James would dine and ditch.
Me and James would dine and ditch regularly.
That's hilarious. Well,
like, will say,
by the way, that's the only way it's a rush, because now they will take you and separate you from your child.
That'll take my child away from it.
Well, it's
that's the rush, though. That's the vig.
It's probably a tie, but like being 90 or having a toddler are almost foolproof for stealing. Like, it's almost like if anyone even came up to Lewis there right there, it's like you're like wrangling this little monkey and you're like, oh, I'm sorry, did we not pay the thing? You know what I mean? Like, it'd be an easy, it's a pretty safe.
I'm picking my teeth with a bone that I just finished. Oh, did I not pay for this?
By the way, it's so funny and not knowing stuff like this at all, but like TGI Fridays, going back to that, like in my mind, it's not only that we were going to a place that I was like, no, this is like a fucking restaurant. And the reason I felt that way, it's so funny to go back years later. I was on the road somewhere not long ago at all, and I saw Fridays. I go, oh, I'll get some fucking Fridays. I go, better alternative to fucking fast food, you know? And so I told him, I go, I'll get some Fridays. You can get a salad here with like the Jack Daniels chicken or something. Dude, that from the time that I went to Fridays the last time to then, they started putting calorie. That was became like calories on the menu.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's not a salad there that's not 1,500 calories. It's one of the most crazy high calorie plate. And I was starting to look around like, not, I mean, not, the if you get the half rack of ribs or something, if you could bring it up even, it's 4,000 calories or something. It's like nuts.
It's all the barbecue sauce.
Of course. Yeah. But I mean, like, it's, there was a mind blowing amount of calories. Like yeah. in their food. And I would, we would go there and be like, we'll all share Jack Daniel's sampler, all the different Jack Daniel's stuff. And then I'm going to get the Jack Daniel's burger. That's
not my problem, Jay. We're fat guys. And we are like I order, when I order food at a restaurant, you would think that I'm like the Prince of Egypt. Like, I'm like, I will take one of everything. I want to try everything on this fucking menu. And I have little, I taste it. I'm like, no, I don't like that. Like, I'm a little fucking bitch when it comes to tasting things. We never order one appetizer. If I go on a date with a chick, it's three appetizers. We're trying three different things, and we're both getting two different entrees. We're gonna get fucking, yeah.
Because you want to be in a position where you can go, that tuna tartare sucks dick.
Well, if I don't, I like flavors. I like lots of flavors. So I love Thanksgiving's coming up.
That should be, that definitely be merch, Louis J. Gomez. I like flavors.
Well, look, Thanksgiving's coming up. The reason I like Thanksgiving so much.
Hilarious description of yourself.
I do love flavors.
I'm a flavors guy.
We had the gobbler. Me and Scott Chaplin on the way home from D.C. stopped at Wawa, got the gobbler. Love me some flavors. Love those flavors specifically.
No, those are good flavors together. But what you should do is, what I don't like is now it's gone to, it's like turkey chunk meat, where if I think you could tell them to make a gobbler with
sliced
the deli turkey.
What is a gobbler?
That's what it used to be years and years ago. It's what it used to be, and they should go back to that.
I'm sorry.
It's a sandwich at Wawa that has turkey gravy.
I'm sorry to ask skinny questions. What are we talking about?
Turkey gravy, stuffing, cranberry sauce.
Okay.
On a sandwich.
On a sandwich, yeah.
All right.
So it's like, it feels like the next day after Thanksgiving, the sandwich you put together.
I like it.
It's great. And they you know what else they do? They serve it cold or hot.
Yeah, but that chunk turkey is not my jam. You got to go old school. There you go.
It's still pretty good. We had it. Me and Scott had one on Sunday. It was fucking phenomenal.
Oh, I get the idea. The hot.
I kind of want to try one.
They're really good. Oh, you probably have a wall under your house, Dave.
All over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's fucking solid. It's legitimately, all bullshit aside, a legitimately solid sandwich.
Cocksuckers.
I used to trash Wawa just to get under Jay's skin. Yeah. Just be like, it's a 7-Eleven with a Subway, big fucking deal. You know,
I used to say that specifically just to bother Jay.
That's always the line. I go, oh wow, you've heard of 7-Eleven.
You guys learned my one kryptonite, but you just,
I will. Yeah, no, it was purely evil of me. The truth is, it's really great. Wawa is great.
I will say, though, it's great until you go to a Buc-ee's, and I know it's hack to say at this point, but Buc-ee's is fucking sick.
Why? Do they make sandwiches to order?
Yeah, they do everything. Have you been to Buc-ee's?
Of course, yeah, but I've never got sandwiches or anything from it.
So they have a barbecue place where they have fresh brisket.
See, that's not my. I wouldn't even put that in the same. I mean, it is. It's the same thing. I could see people liking that over Wawa.
It's not just that though. I believe that they have regular sandwiches as well, but I could be wrong about that. But they have like a beef jerky.
All local Petrus jerky.
That's a weird kind of jerky.
Turn it on for a second.
Oh man!
Just not turn the water on for a second because I can't hear.
Sorry. I just can't believe he killed Beatrice and made jerky out of her.
Beatrice jerky.
We all saw it coming.
It's the most flavorful of the jerkies. Beatrice jerky.
And you know, I love flavors.
No, they have a deli meat, like where you go up to like order deli meat, but it's just for different jerkies. They cut you fresh jerky. Yeah. They have like wild amount of nuts. They have like,
Why it would be awesome, but Wawa is just the consistency of a good sandwich. However, the problem is, there's so many Wawas now. And again, I'll dig this hole because I know the answer is not racist. Whereas Black Staff, steer clear. They don't have no history of Wawa. They have no history with Wawa.
Wait, you're saying that's not racist?
No. It's not.
Is that the definition of racism?
It's clearly racist.
Steer clear of a black staff, you say. Not racist. Jay,
a Wawa. Listen, no, it's not racist.
If there's one lesson that I've learned in life, it is that being factually accurate is not a defense against racism. Well, and so while what you're saying might be true, it is.
And also, Jay, can I just call you on something for a second here?
Yep.
You can't talk about the consistency of a quality sandwich. It is a step above a Subway sandwich. This is not a good sandwich. We all have had good sandwiches.
Depends on your Wawa.
It's fast food, Jay.
Depends on your Wawa.
Stop it.
Depends on your Wawa. You're probably letting a bunch of young black people make it for you like an idiot.
Can I say something about black people and when they work at a place? And there's a trend going on.
I'm talking about a Wawa.
There's a trend, I believe it's like a TikTok or an Instagram trend. When you're ordering Chipotle, if you videotape them putting it in, they give you a lot more because they don't want to have bad press for giving so little because it looks like you're going to point out the fact that they're not giving a lot. So that was like a trend that was going on TikTok for a little while. But black people, the great thing about them, and this, you're right, Jay, it can bite you in the ass. You're right. They have a terrible work ethic. They're not good at most things. Fine. But what I'm saying is that's not what I'm saying at all. When they are working in a fast food restaurant or any restaurant, very often they can't think past their own wide flat noses, right? So what they will do is they will give you way more French fries than they're supposed to because they're like, nah, yo, here, man, this is what I would want. And then they give you a fucking bag full of French fries instead of the normal amount that they're supposed to get that a normal white by the rules person would give.
On my life. Fast food doesn't matter to me as long as there's one fat Hispanic lady back there keeping everybody on the straight and narrow. But for the most part, buddy, if I walked into a all white Waffle House staff, I would be baffled by that and think that they're not going to do it good. And for the same reason, Wawa is not in bad neighborhoods. It is now. They're getting there now. But they were not ever when we were younger. So the thing is, it's a very white people grew up with it and knew and spread the word about how great Wawa is. It's like if you don't grow up with it, you're just like, exactly. I work at a Subway at a gas station.
That's what Wawa stands for, actually. It's white.
White.
It's short for that.
Wawa. But you know what I'm saying?
It's white people's FUBU.
Buddy, if I worked at a Waffle House, I would not give two fucks because I have no history with the quality of it. I don't know. I assume it's always shitty, so I'll make it shitty. Who gives a fuck? I wouldn't have any passion.
But listen to me, Jay. None of these places you should be expecting quality or excellence. They're shit. You're naming a Waffle House and a Wawa.
Black Horse Pike, Runnymede, New Jersey. You go 24/7. You're getting a consistent sandwich with one ingredient that goes across the board with whatever you order. Love.
Listen. When I say Wawa is good, Wawa is good. Like I'm on the road or whatever, and I'm just like, I need something. And like, you'll get a decent coffee. You get like a sandwich there. But yeah, it is. It's garbage food.
It's truly
obviously
below it's average not in every. And this isn't me just bothering Jay. As I'm thinking about it,
high level for gas station food.
I did say whoever Gas Digital is, probably Alex or G Mike. They're pointing out that Lewis said, and I quote, "The Gobbler is a legitimately good sandwich."
And I think that's a shit one.
It's really good. The Gobbler's great. I'll give them, they made the Gobbler well.
The no, mac like, and cheese Jay, is fire because they use Stouffer's.
So let me say this, right? Because I'm saying, like, I'll eat it. Listen, sometimes you're in the mood for, like, whatever. But if you were to say, right, like, say, like, a meatball sub from Wawa versus, say, like Subway or whatever, which I don't even know which one would be better or what at this point.
It would be better at Wawa.
Okay, fine. You say, however, maybe a real meatball sub, let's say you got from like a really good pizzeria or a good Italian place that made you like a real, that'd be much better than Wawa.
Yeah. If they make good meatballs.
Assuming it's a good one.
Yeah, for sure.
Meatballs, I think, outside of like very nice restaurant, are the toughest fucking thing to get out that are decent. Like, they're always bad.
Can I tell you something? They have served for a long time now cheesesteaks at Wawa. I think you'd be a raging lunatic to order that. It's not good for sure.
All right, Jay, fine. You're redeeming yourself a little bit because I do still think of you as that fucking guy who just you know, you're still the same guy to me that said the nicest beach you were ever on was the man-made beach from the cruise.
Norwegian Pearl. They own it.
I mean, it's one of the funniest things ever. You're like, dude, what's the words that you used?
It's the nicest beach I've ever seen.
No, it was something more dramatic than that. It was like breathtaking or something. And then when I saw it, I was like, Jay, this is a man-made beach. This is like a piece of sand coming out of the water.
The water, though, is so blue, you could see fish. And then I freak out that there's fish, and I don't want to touch them, and I don't go in the water. I hate the ocean.
Which is kind of crazy to me.
I know. I like waves. I like going in the waves for a while. But, I mean, also, I will tell you, I've never experienced this before. When I was on Fully Loaded, me and Soder went out in the water in Florida somewhere. And for the forever in my life, I've been in the ocean many, many times. We realized at one point we were being pulled out pretty hard by the current, which I've never had happen.
Undertow.
And then trying to get back to the shore was fucking like, at my point, I was getting a little worried.
Really?
I've never experienced that before. I was like, yo, it's actually hard to fight this fucking thing. It's like pulling us out. Yeah, you would like push back. And you would go, and it was almost like you were getting hit by, like, underneath, like someone was grabbing your ankles, and like,
yeah. And it feels like you'll try to like step back, and the way it pulls you back further than you could run back. You're like,
you're like dragging sand in your heels. It's pretty like for a minute. You're like, then you get to a point even where even though it's pulling you, you're like, I'm out of it. You know what I mean? Like I can get to the.
Well, yeah. Do you know what to do if like an undertow pulls you out? Like what the protocol is?
What you're supposed to do is you turn.
Use all your energy right away.
You go with the undertow. You start going out, and then you got it behind you, so it's all that energy in yours, and you just get out there.
And you have to swim along the coastline.
Nah, dude, you got to take that shit to Europe. You just follow the fucking. You go all the way, come out the other end.
One toe. Home.
I don't know. Well, if somebody's drowning, like if your daughter's drowning, Jay, you're not supposed to jump in and try to save her as well.
I just put my hand out and hope things change.
No, because what's going to happen is if you jump in and try to save her, she's going to grab onto you and fucking drown you to save herself. It's like a natural instinct that happens. People regularly drown the people that are trying to save them from drowning.
Well, for my daughter, I'd have to do that. I go, dude, my excuse can't be afterwards. It was me or her. And I would not give my life for her.
More likely both of you. It's either just her or both of you.
Yeah. Both of us.
Yeah.
You're saying now, but
No, that's what I was going to say. No, yeah.
Facebook at the moment, you're like, well, there's no possible reason.
I didn't really fact check it. Lewis says I'm not supposed to help you. Uncle Lewis says I'm not supposed to help you.
Uncle Lewis said, I'm supposed to watch you drown.
How do you escape that rip current? Rip curl, right?
So it takes you out this way, but it only exists in this middle section. So once you get out, if you go, you should be able to get back around, basically.
Oh, I
see.
I must have been standing right in the middle of that bitch because it was scary.
Yeah, Jay was just trying to go straight down the middle against the arrows.
Yeah, like a bowling ball.
Yeah.
Nice.
Drowning
is
a fucking terrifying thing.
It looks completely painful, terrifying, excruciating right until the end.
You're right until your lungs just fill with water and you go, this is gross.
I've swallowed it all. I haven't breathed. My eyes are exploding.
Yeah. It's probably what is considered the most painful way to die? Probably burning, right? Burning to death?
Painful, I'd have to assume.
Look that up.
It's got to be pretty. I mean, I'm sure you could come up with something that's pretty painful.
Yeah,
but
the Wu-Tang Clan did a pretty good job at that.
Beatrice.
First thing, I think the most difficult way is for someone to sew your asshole shut and keep feeding you and feeding you and feeding you. I'm going to put your nuts, just your nuts on a table and then hit them shits with a spike bat. Blow.
Yeah, the old spike bat.
That's fine.
Sugar-free.
This lunatic's talking to his Beatrice jerky.
Sorry, I'm in a zone.
He's painting his nails. He's talking to fucking jerky he made out of Beatrice.
What if it was just Beatrice's dead body that had been stripping jerky off of him?
Beatrice jerky. We're down to our fifth layer.
Thank you. You know, she'll hate me to the day I die. I ask her to make me a cup of coffee. You'd think that I You think that she caught me banging her sister? Like the look that she gives me.
Yeah, and she never even caught you.
Yeah, you were able to.
One, she doesn't even know about that.
That one time that you guys found that moment.
Nice cup, Jay.
Thank you. Here we go.
Oh, I thought you were talking about my cup.
76ers.
That's also a nice cup.
Look, this was hand drawn by Jay, right? Or no, this was the one that was redrawn by Cheese.
Cheese.
Also, Cheese and his wife unfollowed me on all social media because they're like bleeding heart liberals. Then randomly. I just called them on it. I was like, dude, I was like, why'd you unfollow me on everything? He's like, oh, dude, I must have done it by accident. I was like, really, you and your wife, you fucking liar? And then he
followed That's crazy. You guys both had the same accident the same day.
Oh, that's nutty. That is strange how that worked out. Yeah.
Yeah. You want me to do plugs real quick? We got about a half hour left here.
Yeah. What about Davey?
Well, I am I'm going down in a few days on election day, November 5th. I'll be down at in Fort Lauderdale. I'm doing Patrick Bet David's show live, which a bunch of awesome guests are going to be on it. So I'm looking forward to that. So we'll be giving like live results the day of the election. I plan on going pretty goddamn hard on that show. So looking forward to that. I got a couple more things for the rest of the year. I have two one-nighters this month. I got Poughkeepsie, Laugh It Up, and then in Helium in Philadelphia. And then I take December off from the road every year, but I'll be doing a ton of podcasting, obviously, and stuff. And then coming up in 2025, I got Bozeman, Montana, Houston, Texas, Chicago, Rosemont, a bunch more dates that I just booked that should be up on the site within the next week or so. I'll be coming all over next year, so come see me on the road. ComicDaveSmith.com for all of those tickets. And, of course, PartOfTheProblem.com is now the home of the Part of the Problem podcast. You get all the shows there live, uncensored, ad-free. That's how you support the show if you want to help us out. PartOfTheProblem.com. And aside from that, my comedy specials are up on YouTube for free. And yeah, all that good stuff. That's all.
Louis Lua.
Come see me on the road at lewisofskanks.com. This for the rest of the year. What do I got going on? I got Toronto coming up. You guys want to pull it up real quick? I got Toronto coming up November 15th and 16th. Oh, November 14th, I'm in Waterloo, Ontario. That's a Thursday night. I just added that. I'm going to be at Princess Cinemas, which is the most emasculating place I've ever performed at. I'm performing at the Bitch Made Theater.
Yeah, and Gabo headquarters.
And then I got, I'm personally doing the Dojo of Comedy on December 12th. And then December 13th, I'm at the Emmaus Theater. Oh, December 11th. I want to say no. Wait, go back for a second. November, December 13th, EMS. Yeah, I know we have a live regs at the Gramercy Theater as well. But then we are also doing Legion of Skanks live at the Dojo of Comedy in Morris Plains, New Jersey, on New Year's Eve. Two shows: 8 o'clock is a stand-up show. 10 o'clock is going to be a live podcast and a countdown to the ball drop. If you get tickets to both shows, you will get a discount. So grab those tickets. This place is tiny. It's like 130 seats or 120 seats. It's not a very large venue. It's going to be super exclusive to hang out with us that night, and we're going to be hanging out all night partying with you guys. So make sure you grab those tickets. And then I think I have The Creek at the end of December as well in Austin. But grab those tickets and more. Subscribe to Gas Digital. Actually, you're already subscribed if you're watching this show. Just check out the other pods, the regs.
Friend, you piece of shit.
Lewis and Zach show. And obviously, Story Wars, the brand new hottest game show on the planet.
The brand new hottest game show on the planet. BigJComedy.com. Everybody, as you know, the rest of my dates until I decide differently are now part of a made-up tour that I have called the Peter North American Tour, where eventually there'll be merch with a big load, probably my name in a dick, and then like a load going over America, and then the dates will be in that. But the dates that will be in that, Oklahoma City, everybody, if you're listening live, you still have one more day to see me there. Austin, Texas, let me know if there's a demand. I want to add a show, but I want to say this audience is just because it's the Comedy Mothership. So I don't want to, adding a show seems weird, but maybe I'll add a show to Mothership. But they're all sold out as of right now. Louisville Comedy Club, probably not sold out. Get your tickets for that shit right now, please.
Oh, I'll tell you what's not sold out. Louisville Comedy Club.
Louisville Comedy Club, not the Comedy Mothership. You know what? If you wanted to come to the Comedy Mothership, take a trip out to Louisville, Kentucky. Go see me there.
Yeah, honestly, going to be an easier path to seeing Jay.
If you couldn't see me at the Mothership, also, come to see me in Houston. That's not even that crazy far away. That's doable, actually. But yeah, I'm all over the place. Big Jay Oakerson's Peter North American tour, coming to a city near you. Of course, listen to the Bonfire.
Coming. I started using coconut oil on my tattoos.
Nice. Ooh. It's good for everything. Masturbation, putting things up your ass.
I jack off with coconut oil.
You bullied me right through Bobby, saying Bobby's name. The great Robert Kelly and
sorry.
5 days a week, Faction Talk, Series XM 103 on the Bonfire. And then, of course, America's newest obsession, Story Wars, with the Story Warriors, me and Luis J. Gomez.
Coconut oil does have a lot of uses.
Yeah, teeth pulling.
I use it to jerk off. I use it to teeth pull. I use it to heal my tattoos. And then that's it.
And also, it's your food.
I don't really ever eat it that much.
You make your coconut oil paste. It's got too many functions that if someone did cook with it, I would think that was gross. It's like, what are you cooking with, baby oil or something? It's got too many other uses.
No, it's really good. It's really healthy to cook with instead of like vegetable oil.
Yeah.
Well, I was beating off with vegetable oil for a while, and I just started feeling like whatever it was, the only way I can describe it is that it made my dick hole feel gunky.
Well, I've thought that's why I think it's funny what they keep saying with the P. Diddy with the gazillion things of baby oil. I go, I'm starting to think that was just for his elbows and feet. Baby oil has no place in sex. It's it's grotesquely bothersome, I would say.
There was a...
In black pornography, they do a lot of baby oil squirting, but that is because it makes them their ass is super shiny. So it's functional.
Well, there's a whole category called lubed, I believe, I want to say.
Right.
Or not a category, but like a porn...
Genre?
Genre. No, it's not even a genre. It's like, it's a company that does their own porns full of lubed. And they grease these bitches up with baby oil. Man, it looks fun, Jay.
Is it baby oil?
That was a big thing. So. Oiled up girls was like a big thing, I feel like, when I was a kid. Like, that was kind of like...
Well, the idea was oil wrestling, I understand.
Lubed, yeah.
Oh yeah, they're all fucking oily.
They're all oily as shit, dude. Mm. We're all wet sex, see? Lube.
Yeah, it's odd.
That's
not baby oil. That's like lube.
I mean, potato, patata. I don't know.
No. That's the point. Baby oil is not good lube. It like dry eventually becomes.
Can
like
you Google
dusty.
That? Can you use baby oil as lube?
You can, but it will dry out eventually and get like weird. Like it'll be like more like rubbery.
Mike G. Mike says, "Of course you can, but you shouldn't."
That looks like Alex.
It does look like Fat Alex.
Big Fat Alex.
Fat Alex would be a great show, like her own version of Fat Albert, which is Alex and her friends. They're all fat.
Hey, hey, hey. Oh, what are we getting to?
Yeah, I think we already got it, guys.
Yeah, I think we were getting to a point that, but we said look up if it's good lube, and I would say it's probably going to tell you it's not the best thing to use for lube.
What does it say? Can we get an official answer instead of asking it over and over again into the air?
Yeah, you shouldn't use baby oil because if it gets in your urethra, you can get an infection. There's like specific, I think you're supposed to use oil-based lubricants. That's the best though.
Yeah, I knew it.
What does it say about using coconut oil?
That's fine. Encouraged.
It's, you know what it is? It's very, not only is it viscous, but it retains its slipperiness for a long time.
It's a good commercial.
It says it may lead to yeast infection. Oh, there you go. Now it says it.
Oh, it can lead to a yeast infection?
But that's not you.
Well, no, you're gonna be fine on this one, Lewis.
You have to make sure it's just raw coconut oil and there's no added sugars or anything.
Oh, well, no. Obviously, I'm doing raw, cold-pressed organic coconut oil.
Yeah. It's not
an animal. My cock?
Yeah, you have to buy the organic stuff, the good stuff. I'm going to treat myself. A little raw organic.
Well, that's the problem. Is there any downside in using shitty vegetable oil or canola oil to jerk off?
Canola oil is probably no good either.
Just rubbing it into your skin. I'll tell you right now, learning to use oils to jerk off was one of my best things that I could have ever done.
Really? It sounds like a nightmare. The cleanup is that shit to me.
Well, that's the other thing. I think coconut oil doesn't leave oil stains on your clothes.
You're just putting your clothes right back on? You're not going in the shower for sure?
You think I shower every time I jerk off?
No, but I'm thinking wherever you jerk off, that coconut oil is going to like run down your fucking ass crack onto wherever you're sitting.
No, listen to me. I jerk off.
It's all caked up and like.
So caked up. You do. Listen to me. You do. I'm talking about like a dime's worth. Like imagine the size of a dime. You take that little goop it out, right? Then you do this. It becomes liquid very quickly, and then you fucking. There's no dripping down.
I don't know, dude. I'm a Jew. I already came when I was thinking about the dime. I don't think I need any of this.
Can I just jerk off with a dime in my hand?
That dime is so hot.
Dude, so there's none of that.
Pennies.
And then as soon as you're...
I was picturing you grabbing a glob, so that does make a difference.
As soon as you jizz, you do this with your hands, right? All over, up your arms, your face, lick your hands, and you go to work.
Nice.
All
easy
right.
Peasy lemon squeezy, dude.
Hey, listen, if it works for you,
set it and forget it.
You don't want to do lemon squeezy on the dick, especially if you're herpes sores.
Yowie. Yowie kazowie.
That's gonna burn.
But baby oil, yeah. It really riddles the question. Like, that does seem more like a party thing to have all those things, because he has girls in like tubs.
That is fun, though. That is fun.
But I'm not arguing, why would anyone have a problem with that? It's like, we got all this baby oil. He goes, yeah, we have a bunch of girls like getting the inflatable pool and oil wrestle.
Have we heard anything?
It's not illegal.
Have we heard that anything Diddy's even done that has even been...
What did he do? Did he done do?
It seems pretty above board to me, everything so far that I've heard. Please test me, Alex G. Mike. Tell me one thing.
I don't really know much of the details. I mean, like, I know I heard a lot of the details from Kurt, but Kurt gives you so many details that I end up hearing none of them.
Yeah, but I do
know that, like, the fucking... He offered... His lawyer, I think they offered $50 million for bail, and the judge was like, no.
No. Yeah,
you're not getting out.
Well, he's too. So, it's like, not even so much that what he did is so heinous. It's just that he is going to not come back. He's gone.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But that means they want him to face trial for whatever it is.
G Mike had a great idea, which is we can play Is It Rape?
I mean, there is a video of him like he beat the shit out of that chick.
Well,
that's not rape.
And that's apparently
that's a good point. Lewis did win the game.
It is
not rape.
Is
it rape, Jay? It's not rape.
But she was also, didn't they say now that what she said she was actually running from that room was like a freak? Like there was like he had like a couple girls there and like she just dipped out and tried to run while he was fucking.
Not rape?
No, I didn't say it was rape, but I'm saying like that's like, and then he realized she left and chased her down the hallway and beat the shit out of her. Pretty nuts.
And he did bring her back where potentially rape happened, but that's not what was on videotape. There was no rape.
G Mike, can you please pull up the different charges and things that he's alleged to do, and I'll be the judge.
I think sex trafficking is one of them, but I don't exactly know what that
means. That is such, at this point, such a fucking like blanket umbrella charge. Like, what does that even mean anymore?
It's kind of like bringing hookers in from Jersey to New York.
Well, that's like saying fucking like holding the door and not letting your girlfriend leave is kidnapping. It's like, no, we're having a heated argument.
She, the victim of a pattern of abuse, violence, and sex trafficking. Oh, yeah. He had her like, he like made her fuck like a male prostitute while he was.
Sex trafficking is simply just bringing somebody over state lines for the sake of paying them for sex, correct?
Right.
I honestly, it's like one of these terms like misconduct that just they started using all the time. And then I've heard people use it in drastically different ways. Like,
I don't want you to pull up things and highlight them. I want you to say them to us. You read
them.
Well,
the thing about it is that I know that, and this I think would be considered sex trafficking, but what the thing is, like, people get like kidnapped and then forced into like sex, you know, work. And then, but that's like what comes to your mind when you hear sex trafficking. But then I think a lot of times the accusations aren't actually that. They're saying that like you brought them over state lines for some sexual exploitative reason.
Well, Jay, we know a girl that was involved in that porn case. She did porn for that Girls Do Porn or one of those things.
Yeah.
And I remember she talked about it online and she was like, my sex trafficking case isn't over. And I was like, oh my God, this girl was sex trafficked. Then I just found out she's talking about the porn she did. And I was like, you got paid to go do porn in another state? You consider yourself a victim of sex trafficking? That's crazy.
Well, isn't there something really funny about the that one where they got busted? I remember we talked about this when it first happened on the show, but it's like there's a whole genre of porn where essentially that's the fantasy. Like, that's the story, is that they're like duping, pressuring these girls into having sex. Yeah. And then it turned out that they were really doing the thing that everybody is enjoying about them. It's a very
it's a calendar shoot. That's all it is. And then they're like, really? And then they convince them and they coerce them into actually having sex. And you're like,
I think that's what this person said happened. That it was like, you know, come do a shoot. And,
Get a shoot all over her face.
And at the end of it, when that happens, you can see them kind of have like the like, oh, I just did a porn, huh? Pretty wild. Pretty oh boy, I just did a fucking porn. Okay, forgot that I was making a porn. Came to do a calendar thing.
Just well, it's crazy. Like, dude, you remember that, Jay? There was that video that went super. Like, it was. Went porn viral, but where it is, at least they explain of it that it's just a chick who's at one of those parties, like as an extra
on High Society Radio,
and she just ended up like getting into it. But it's so real. There's no way she's that good of an actress. Moment.
Literally last week, I brought this up. I had Harrington bring it up on High Society Radio because I was like, oh, I watch this thing once a year. This video, it's great, and they never saw it. And they do that. They've even put stuff to it now. Where it's like countdown to reality in 3, 2, 1. You see your face go like. Oh boy!
I mean, before this happens, it's not even just in porn. You see, it just happen like a lot, like because everyone's got cameras now. You see a moment where somebody is like caught being racist, and then they go, "All right, well, I'm just racist," and then they just go.
Oh, and they lose it.
Like, it's all like just the moment got caught up, and you're like on camera. You're like it's all just sort of fucking yeah, dude. It's a like emotion gets the best of you, but it's like, damn, dude. You see it happen with fucking like the pedophile hunter guys that I know you love. I mean, I shouldn't say you love to watch it now. I think it's become a very popular category across the board. There's so many like, there's one guy that it's like on Twitter. I don't even follow him. The way Twitter works now, it's like they just decided you follow somebody. And I'm like, no, but I don't really like their stuff. I've watched a decent amount of their stuff because it shows up, but it's like, I will decide if I want to watch this stuff all the time by following them. Don't tell me now that they're just in my feed 24 hours a day. But there's one channel that's a pedophile hunting like Twitter where he just collects all of them. And I just get lost on a journey and I just scroll. And there's so many that happen. And I mean, there's like 10 or 20 new a day that come just on this guy's channel.
No, that's the disparaging part. When I was at the Sting House with the girl who did the one, like... It was like, hey, the two people we had seems like they're going to be no shows. So it's like, and it's just within like we were there for like 3 total more hours. They had 2 more people that they were together to get because like, again, these things aren't really going to stick legally sometimes because it's going to be a lure. But how fast you could say I'm 13 years old, come over and fuck me, essentially. It's not that many back and forths before an adult wants to come over and fucking and do it. It's crazy.
Full balls.
Full balls, indeed.
These poor guys are victims of full balls.
Oh, damn! Yeah, Chris Hansen's doing it again. They keep putting his up again. It's so funny.
Oh, it's Chris Hansen. Well, he's like, oh, I invented this, and now everyone has like channels that like. Then I wonder about what about the guys that like. I saw another one. He's super aggressive. This new guy, and he like he just screams at him, like, and then it, like, they sort of spray painting the guy's car and like fucking up the guy's car, and I'm like,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the original,
like, well, like, I know it's not legal to do that. So what is the angle for this guy? I'm like, how is it even, like,
well, I'll tell you why,
to have a channel that does that?
Because they're going against the thing. Like, there's all, listen, the reality is, again, I don't know if they don't get a lot of, like, convictions off of these pedophile things. So realistically, if you believe in it that hard and you start, like, fucking people up or actually, like, you know, kind of knocking them around and shit and putting that kind of fear into them, it's probably the best value you're going to get for, like, actual repercussions for this, other than just filming them and putting it out.
The embarrassment, I guess it depends, because some of these people, like, maybe they don't really. I guess if you're just a person who works at a gas
trucker
station,
who gives a shit,
you're a person who works at, like, a Kratom store in, like, the middle of nowhere, and, like, that you're like I don't give a fuck if you embarrass me. Like, yeah. Ooh, okay.
No one in this town knows me anyway. Yeah, it's like I'm just some dude.
Yeah, are you dog whistling to underage girls that I'm in? Because let them know.
There's very few people I've seen on a pedophile hunt video that if I was standing right next to them at my, I would know who they are. Very few.
No, that's a great point. Well, but it's not even so much that. Like, yeah, you're right. It's not like they're getting recognized and beat up. But it's more like if a guy gets put on a thing, it's going viral. We happen to not know anybody who got caught on these things.
Sure.
But if we knew somebody from, like, high school that got caught on this, that would be local famous. That would be in, like, your local Facebook groups. People would be warning people. He'd probably get the shit beat out of him at bars and shit like that. Like, it's not making you world famous, but it's like anybody who's in your circle.
No, you gotta move. For sure.
You gotta fucking move. You gotta change your fucking everything. You gotta change your identity, essentially. So I think that there's value in that.
No, I think you just kind of gotta move. You gotta move, because the only people that notice you in that video are people who knew who you were before the video. You go to a town where no one knows you, you're starting.
Your name might follow you, though, dude. That's some real funky shit. People really don't like pedophiles. So if you move to another town,
that's fair.
There might just be people that are, like, in that town. They're like, yo, fuck the guy, he moved. Now I'm going to contact his local employee. Like, you got to change your name. Sure. You have to change your look. You have to, like, I've thought about this a lot.
Because I have to change my look. Now I have to become more attractive to children so they come to me. No, those things are... But I said, I started off, like, the as far as, like, the knocking the guys around, that sort of started with these guys, Jay and Josh. That's the Dads Against Predators guys. And, like, now they've just leaned into, like, it's more like they're going to slap you around. They're the ones that knock the guy through the fucking...
Well, I saw one guy that after the building.
Yeah.
I saw one guy, they were like, they gave the guy boxing gloves. He had boxing gloves on. He's like, yeah, hit me. And he's like, I don't want to, man. It's like, hit me, bro. Come on, bro. I fucking said hit me. Then he goes... Boop, and then he beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean,
but he's been shot twice. Also, the redheaded one, Jay, has been shot twice.
I mean, it's become such a... The only thing I got to say, because I do, like, we have talked about it a decent amount, and sometimes I end up feeling bad for, like, the retarded guys that they, like...
Yeah.
You know, they you know, that it's just actually a mentally handicapped person. But I will say... The deterrent, I guess it's not much of a deterrent because there's still a lot of people doing it, but there has to be hundreds of thousands, if not, like, millions of fucking predators or potential predators that are going, like, you know what? I'm good. I'm not going to go down that road. Like, it's like security cameras that nobody ever checks. At the very least, like...
It's a sickness and a compulsion.
It's an interesting question. I mean, like, how much of the compulsion and sickness can you really, like, deter? Control. I don't know. I will say that I think, at least the ones, and I've seen very few of them, there's something, it really creeps me out, the whole topic, and I just don't like watching. But I've seen the ones where they beat up guys, I've seen them punch them in the fucking side of the head and shit like that. And I do think... whether they're doing a good whether what they're doing ultimately has good outcomes or not, I think the people doing it are bad people. Like, I think the pedophiles are bad people when they're not mentally retarded or whatever, but, like, I think the people, it's like, oh no, you just wanted the excuse to get someone where it's socially acceptable for you to bully and assault. If any time someone doesn't want to fight and they're just like, oh, I don't want anything, and you're just punching them in the fucking head, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. You're not the good guy.
You're saying the guys who do that, like the ones who, like, beat him up, not the ones who just expose.
No, not necessarily just expose. I'm saying the ones who like fucking assault them are like, I don't think you're a good dude. And
I'll even take it a step further. I think the guys, obviously the pedophiles are bad. Obviously the guys who do it are bad. But I also think those children are bad for being so sexy. They're going to come out there.
Everyone gets a little blame in this.
Yeah.
No one's blame free.
Lewis will go there. And that's what I appreciate about him.
Yeah.
I sentenced the pedophile to life in prison. I sentenced the guy who punched the pedophile in the head to an assault charge, and I sentenced those kids to life with a pedophile.
There was a couple in Baltimore in my show. They probably listened to the show. Shout out to that couple. The girl was what I would consider attractive, but she looked...
She was what the law would consider 13.
She literally looked like she was 14 years old. She had braces. She was a little girl, right? Uh-huh. And she was with a normal dude, but she was like 25 or whatever she was. They were just like a normal couple. They were like, yeah, like she looks young. But then even I made the joke in the show, but I was like, dude, you're a pedophile. Like, if you're attracted to this girl who looks like a child, I don't get this. Like, you saw that there was that one girl who was like 3'11".
You fell ass backwards in the gold and tried to fuck this child and found out she was 25. Lucky you.
I'm just saying, like, if you like a girl, like if you're dating a girl that presents as a 13-year-old girl,
that's rough.
Yeah, it's like in a midget. Like, I would almost bang a midget, literally. And we always say those
words.
You
almost do it.
For the story, like, this is like that girl that got viral. She can't have a love life because anybody who dates her is a fucking pedophile.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But she don't look this young, this girl. This girl, like, looked more adult than that. This girl looks like a 10-year-old girl.
Yeah, that's tough.
But no, imagine, like, I would do it for the story. And there are some pretty hot ones. Like, you've seen, like, they go viral at this point. But it's not because they look like a little girl. It's because they're... Like, it's almost like having sex with a girl with, like, a missing limb. Like, there's, like, you know, you're a freak.
You fucking
well, yes, also, they don't look like children, exactly. You know,
yeah, like, they look like dinosaurs, kind of.
Yeah, it's just a little different of a thing. That is, that's rough.
But there is so much of that. I can't say that enough. Like, when they get the retarded people on those things, it really is, you're like, these people would have answered any age you put it out there. They can't believe it's gotten this far ever. It's the only first and last time this has ever gone as far as it's going to go, because they were like, they were trying to trap somebody into it. So that's where I do feel lame. The funniest one for me is how many girlfriends go. There's a decent amount of like women trying to get like a fucking 15-year-old, 14-year-old for their guy and them to have a threesome with.
Really?
When they catch them, that's batshit.
They put that angel in jail? No.
Yeah.
You're gonna give her a Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, there's the one, I think we watched this on the show years ago, but the one was like, they were like, how are you getting called out for being a pedophile and you're a Karen? Do you remember us watching that? We definitely did. Because they're like, no, I'm actually down here to erase her phone because I didn't know she was 14. And they were like, yeah, he goes, that is what I was about to, like, she's just never stops being shitty to the cops. It's so
I almost wish I had the freedom of, like, just being a small town fucking, just a movie theater employee. Like, that's like, what are you going to do? You're going to fire me for my AMC job? Fuck off, motherfucker. I'm going to go fucking chew some tobacco and fucking shoot my gun at beer cans in the woods.
I'm going to wrap you in the fucking face with my big, heavy flashlight.
Dude, imagine just, like, the freedom of like that life in a weird way where like, yeah, like obviously I don't have money saved.
Obvi.
Like there's just no expectation for any like success at all.
Oh no. Yeah.
Is it,
no,
yeah, it that's is, the thing. No, I want to be so successful. Nice... Like I want to be like P. Diddy where I could fuck kids or be so unsuccessful and have no chance or dreams. Or
see, that's what you're fucking up with. You're right in the middle right now.
I know, dude. I can't fuck these kids if I'm right in the middle.
Can I tell you something? I had a hard time with that, with my understanding that with my friends when I was in my early 20s. Because any of my friends that just, like, you know, one of them would start, you know, his own business, like, you know, delivering lunch meats and shit. And then another one would just kind of doing shit like, you know, delivery work. Somebody else was doing that. And I was like, because I was trying to do comedy and everything, I really had this thing. I'm like, these people are so unexceptional. You know what I mean? And it was just like, No, that's most of the world. If I didn't happen to find comedy, I would have just been doing a job. Like, I would have done the same thing. And by the way, and gone on vacation twice a year and blah, blah. And just like, of course, I didn't expect anything other than that. And literally until the day I started doing, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't like a dream.
And now you've never taken a vacation once in your life.
No. But when I was 15, I didn't have dreams of being famous or think I was going to do comedy or anything. Nothing like that.
You would have just been a regular guy, but you would have had a pretty sweet connect for someone who delivers lunch meat.
Oh, yeah.
Your buddy. Started
Joe
a business.
Malillo.
I wanted, it's not even that I wanted to be famous. I would, you know, I very young age, I legitimately wanted to be a pro wrestler. Like, then I got into music and I was in a band, and, you know, sure. The dream was to get, famous and become like, it was always performing and always sort of like, but I was also always the same guy. Like, I always ran shows. I always like produced events, and like, I had a festival called Stinkfest when I was in high school. Yeah. Do you know that?
Did you never tell us that?
I don't think I ever told you that. Yeah.
Oh, is it true?
It's pretty good.
Oh, that's hilarious. I thought you were joking. Well, you have to say that for another day because I have to go, but that's a crazy thing to put a pin in. Do be continued. Maybe on Monday.
I had a friend named Big Jim Joker.
Shut the book up. And my other friend, John Doe. I love you, boys. Always fun to hang with the guys in the Friday night hang. I hope you enjoyed hanging with us. Catch us. We'll be back next week from our Live from the Stand show. Until then, everybody, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
Who else be fucking over, Lewis?
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you're trying to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.